Father God, as we enter this time of deeper worship and deeper learning and deeper understanding of who you are, I pray that you open our eyes and open our hearts, open our minds to what you have to say to us today. And I pray that you open each of our hearts and minds to your words and to the words that we're supposed to carry on to our friends, our family, our coworkers, our enemies. Father God, I pray for each and every one of us from the largest scale you can imagine, the world, all 7 billion of us, to our tiny little country, to our leaders and our military, our state, our county, our city, our church, all of our leaders in the churches, all the way through the country and through the world. I pray for each and every one of our families, from our family that can't be here, to our broken families, to our injured families and our sick families. And I pray for healing, and I pray for understanding, and I pray for peace throughout all of that. And Father God, I pray for awakening of the Spirit. Every week we have a panel up here that shows an awakening of the Spirit. Father, that awakening is ready. We are at the cusp of that awakening. And I pray that you just open that. Open that door and let us feel the fire of that Spirit in that awakening. Father God, I pray for that from this church, from our neighboring churches to churches around the world. I pray for that awakening. I pray for us again today that we hear what you need us to hear and that you open our eyes and our minds to what is being presented by Pastor Tony. Father, it's in your holy, precious, powerful, awesome name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brandon. Words to the song, so powerful. And they go with the message really well today. Our scripture today is found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. John 10, verses 1 through 10. I assure you that whoever doesn't enter into the sheep pen through the gate but climbs over the wall is a thief and an outlaw. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The guard at the gate opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has gathered all his sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run away because they don't know the stranger's voice. Those who heard Jesus use this analogy didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so they could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the reminders that you have already given us today in and through our hymns and our worship songs, that you are on the throne, that you are the God that leads, guides, and does heal no matter the circumstance. And Lord, we ask now that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the message of the truth of your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you are familiar with or have read the book, 102 Minutes, The Untold Story of the Fight to Survive Inside the Twin Towers? Has anyone read that book, or do you remember the book being out? It came out shortly after this occurred, and it is an unbelievable moment-by-moment account of the heroic struggle of the life inside the World Trade Center on that morning of what happened on September the 11th in 2001. And every single minute was precious. 14,000 people were inside the Twin Towers. 12,000 were able to escape, but 2,749 were not. And here is one of the most fascinating and also the gripping parts of this story. And it is the fact is of account of how many people lived and how many that died. And it was dependent upon the decision they made, which was, which door do we take? And to give an example of just one situation that they talked about in the book, one group of people in the office that was trying to flee after the plane hit the building was to make that decision of which door they should take. Because most people in that group decided that they should take the door that led to the elevator. And then the other group of people that didn't take that route decided to take the door that led to the stairwell. And unfortunately, the group that took the elevator died. And the group that took the door to the stairwell lived. And it is a physical picture of a virtual reality about life. And that life is really and truly about taking the right door or going through the right gate. And so I'm going to talk to you today about the most important door or gate that there is, that anyone could ever decide of whether or not they should walk through it. It is a door or a gate. It depends on what translation you're reading from. But it is a door that has no hinges. It has no knobs. It doesn't have a lock. It doesn't swing one way and then swing the other. But this door is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. We are going to continue in this series of the I Am statements of Jesus, which I told you there are seven of them, and they are found in the book of John. And today we are looking at the third I Am statement. And these I Am statements reveal to us who Jesus is, but it also reveals truths to us so that we may become more like Jesus. And because of who Jesus is, we can have two things in life that every person is in search of that I have shared with you over the past 2 weeks, and that is security and significance. Nobody understands you like God understands you. And nobody understands your need for fulfillment of security and significance, of worth and value, like God does. And Jesus uttered these four words, I am the gate, or I am the door. And when he did, he provided that way of meaning and significance. In fact, Jesus spoke this twice in our passage for today because he was emphasizing that he is the door. And his listeners would have immediately known what he was talking about because, even though we may not know, I'm going to fill you in a little bit of why his listeners knew. And that is that Jesus had just finished sharing with them that he was the shepherd. And he had been talking to them about what a good shepherd does. And now he is continuing with another comparison or metaphor and trying to reveal more of who he is. And he compares himself to the door or the gate of the sheep. In Israel, there are two kinds of sheepfolds. There, one sheepfold is when the shepherds bring the sheep into town, from out in the country into town. And they come into town or into the village, and they bring all of their sheep together. All of the shepherds come together, and those shepherds join their resources together, and they hire a guard to watch over those sheep while they go and take care of business while they're in town, whether it's buying supplies or whatever it is that they are doing. And this guard guards this massive amount of sheep. And the guard will only let those shepherds whom he knows personally who own that flock of sheep that he is guarding. And thus, that's why it explains then when the shepherds are ready to go back out into the countryside, they go and, because all of those sheep are mixed together, those shepherds call their sheep. And those sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. This is what Jesus was talking about. If you can imagine seeing all of those sheep begin to go and to go one way or another with the shepherd, and they're going to follow their shepherd. And I'm sure that is an amazing sight to see, but that is what happens. The other kind of sheepfold is that when they are guided out into the hills and away from the village. And it is a walled enclosure. It has three sides, and on those three sides, it's usually piles of rocks that are about a foot high, and then there is a small opening. There isn't a wall in that one side. It's a small opening of about 5 or 6 feet wide, and the sheep enter into that opening then at night. And the shepherd would lie down in front of that opening and literally will become the door for the sheep in that opening. And nothing comes in unless the shepherd knows about it, and the sheep are not able to go out unless the shepherd allows the sheep to leave that pen. So it puts a whole new meaning to the word, to the phrase, nothing gets past you. And nothing gets past that shepherd because he is lying there in that opening. So as the door of the sheep, the shepherd gives the sheep two things that everybody in this earth is looking for, and that is security and significance. Security, the sheep know that they are safe as long as the shepherd is there guarding the entrance, that doorway, and significance for the fact that that shepherd is willing to lay his physical body down and to provide that protection. And so the shepherd is the protector, and the shepherd is the provider. For the sheep. And this is what Jesus Christ is trying to communicate. He is saying, I am that provider. I am that protector. I will take care of you if you will simply let me. One of Jesus' favorite ways to teach then is to refer to ordinary, everyday, common things and to communicate with that object extraordinary truths. So Jesus takes earthly things and objects, the people of the day in that area that would have understand, and gave it a heavenly meaning. And in our text today, Jesus does that very thing. He uses something that you and I see every day and probably walk through many times during the day, and that is the image of a door or gate, just depending on which translation you're reading from. So now we have to ask the question, why did Jesus refer to himself as a door? If you think about it, there is only one of two things that you can do with a door. You can open it from the inside and walk out of the room that you're currently in, or you can open it from the outside and go from the outside and to walk in. And a door is basically either an exit or an entrance. And wherever you're exiting, you are now entering, you know, into another phase. But that's the significance of the door. And Jesus is telling us that in this passage of Scripture, that this is who he is. And anytime you walk through a door, you're automatically entering into one place and you're exiting another. And so the secret to finding significance and security and value and worth in life is to make sure that you walk through that door named Jesus Christ. Because, first of all, through Jesus, you can exit a meaningless life. You can exit a meaningless life. Go back to the people who were at the Twin Towers right after the planes hit. There was smoke everywhere. Debris was flying around. I'm sure that people were choking over the dust and the toxic fumes and the smoke that was in the air. And they rushed into the hallway and they had a quick decision to make. Do I take the elevator or do I take the stairwell? And unfortunately, one door led to life and the other led to death. So it is vital that we take the right door, the door that leads to eternal life. Life is like that. Every single day, 6+ billion people on this planet choose to walk through some sort of door. There are doors of marriage, doors of new beginnings, doors of people leaving high school and entering into college. There are doors of having children, doors of spending money. Doors of accepting jobs, maybe one job ending and another job beginning. Doors that maybe bring us to an end and doors that open up of new possibilities. There are people that have made choices that they are forever affected by those choices of the doors they walk through, such as many young people in search of significant and worth and protection. That's what caused them to join a gang. And in order to join a gang, there's much violence. And nowadays, it's even you must commit murder in order to be a part of this gang. And then young people find that they spend the rest of their life in prison because they chose the wrong door. And there are people today in miserable marriages because they walked through the wrong door of premarital sex rather than basing their marriage relationship on trust and respect, commitment, and love. And there is a difference. There is nothing more frustrating than to walk through a door that you think that you should be walking through, and that you think it's the right door. And the key thing is you think. And you think it's going to lead to that significance and that contentment and the peacefulness, only to find out that it's the wrong door. Because Jesus isn't a door or just any door. He says he is the door. And the reason why I'm telling you this is there is no person, no place, no thing or event on this world that is going to bring you true meaning, purpose, significance, and value and fulfillment in your life outside of Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him. He is the only one who can bring that ultimate peace and contentment. Everything else is icing on the cake. After saying that Jesus was the door to the sheep, then Jesus made this statement in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. So God wants every one of us to live lives of significance and satisfaction, but those other resources are the wrong doors. Because a wrong door will steal and rob you of your peace and your joy and your contentment and your satisfaction. Because the wrong door is simply having your way. I'm going to do it my way, how I see fit. That's the wrong door. Jesus said, I am the door. It's not about you. It's not about your personal preference. It's about what Jesus is doing and what he wants. And money and control and influence is the wrong door. And the reason why is because it's not everlasting and it's not faithful. All of those things can change at any given moment. Look what happened to the people on 9/11. Even our families, as wonderful as our families are, and our families are very, very important. They are a top priority, but family alone will not bring that significance and satisfaction because Jesus is the only one that can give us our true identity, our worth, and our value. And the reason why I say that is that your children will grow up and leave home someday. They're not always going to be in your house unless there is a failure to launch. But your children will grow up and leave. There is no consistency with it. And the same is true as one day your spouse may die or your job may come to an end. All those things are susceptible to a change. It is not constant. Jesus Christ is the only constant that we have and the only assurance that is going to fulfill us and complete us in who we are. Choosing to live beyond your means and trying to obtain an unreachable goal is a very miserable life, and it is the wrong door. Hanging on to something, hanging on to the past, hanging on to an event simply because you don't like change or you're fearful of the future is a wrong door. And many of us have walked through wrong doors in our lives, but the good news is that you can leave that wrong door and go into the door that Jesus Christ has for us. And he says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Which means that you will find what you are hungry for, and what you're hungry for is significance, peace, contentment, and security. And so Jesus says, you walk through my door, you're going to find that. It's going to be there. And so basically what Jesus is telling us is, first of all, we will be saved because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship with God never ends. And then we will be safe because the sheep go in and out without any fear because they know that the shepherd is there. And you will be satisfied because the sheep, what they need is the green pasture to feed upon, which is what the shepherd provides. So you're going to have that as well. But the problem is we want to do it our way in our timing rather than following the shepherd. And Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, and I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I often wondered why Jesus would call himself the gate or the door and then all of a sudden shift and start talking about abundant life and meaningfulness. But when you come to the door marked Jesus, you not only exit a meaningless life, but you enter a meaningful life. And if you remember, I told you that when you walk through the door, there are two meanings. You exit one room and you enter another one. And Jesus is telling us that when we come to him, we exit that life of frustration and we enter into fulfillment. We exit a life of meaninglessness and we enter into a life of meaningfulness. And when Jesus said that the thief came to only steal, kill, and to destroy, the thief are all the wrong doors that we have a tendency to walk through. If you will walk through the wrong door, which is known as greed, lust, jealousy, selfishness, when you choose to participate in these things, it will suck the life and joy right out of you. Will it not? And eventually, it'll end up killing you. But when you enter into the door named Jesus Christ, when you will enter into a life of joy and peace and satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment. Some people go through life and they are only existing. That's all they are, is a mere existence. They never live their lives to the fullness and completeness that God intended. And folks, Jesus did not put us on this earth to simply exist. And he didn't put us on this earth to take up space, live a few years, and then die without having some kind of significance and impact on the people around you. He wants every one of us to live a life of significance and to know that we are important because he's depending on us to do what he's called us to do. We have already learned that he has called us the light because he's the light. And we're to allow our light to shine brightly to others. He wants every single one of us to live a life of significance and importance. And then to leave a wonderful legacy. And isn't that what you want? Don't you want to know that your life counts, that it matters, that you are living life to the fullest? And the key is making sure that you walk through the right gate, and the right gate is named Jesus Christ. The most important door that any of us could ever walk through. Because all other doors will offer death, and only Jesus Christ promises life and life more abundantly. Let us pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up while I close this out in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for the lesson that you have given us on the fact that you are the door, you are the gate. Oftentimes, we like to think that we're in control of those doors, that we're in control of our life. And the truth is you are the ultimate one who provides. You're the one who cares for us, and you are the one that is in control. Help us to recognize where you are leading us. Help us to be sensitive to your voice, that we would not follow after another, but that we would know you intimately, and that we would not be frightened, but that we would trust that you are going to provide for us and to protect for us, no matter what it is that you ask us to do or where you lead us. Forgive us for being stiff-necked and rebellious. And help us to walk in obedience to you. And we thank you that you are the good shepherd, and we thank you that you have laid down your life for us. And now, Lord, may we walk into those green pastures and to feast in your holy presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Shepherd is speaking. Are we listening? May we give forth and follow the good shepherd. Amen.